As we continue worshiping together today, receive these words as recorded in the book of Acts, the second chapter, beginning in the first verse.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability.
Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine."
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and on your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now please remain risen and receive these words from the Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter, beginning in the 25th verse. "I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid."
Receive what the Spirit is saying.
Before we pray together and reflect on the Pentecost stories that we've heard today, I want to make sure that we are praying for the new associate pastor who is preparing to come and to serve among us. The Reverend Dr. Kelly Grimes will be joining us officially on July the 1st, only a few weeks away, which I can't believe we're already at that point. We've been anticipating her arrival for some time. The picture and bio for Reverend Kelly is found on the back of our worship guide, and I hope that you've already taken a look at that. but that you'll not only read it, but also be looking for ways that you can connect with Pastor Kelly when she gets here. She'll be serving as our associate pastor and director of hospitality and congregational care. And we're so grateful that she will be joining us and our team and serving among all of you. So please do make sure that you extend to her the warmest welcome and lots of support as she comes among us. We'll be lifting her up over these next weeks and ask you to be in prayer for her and for the congregation that she's saying goodbye to over these next days. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks on this Pentecost Sunday for the gift of Spirit who comes among us as an advocate and a guide and a comforter, but also as an agitator and one who stirs us to live more fully and freely and powerfully. We give you thanks, O God, for the ways that Spirit moves among us here at Foundry all the time. And for this moment, O God, when we trust that you will come and move in powerful ways so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable, might be infused with something of you, O God, help us to be faithful in these moments. I offer myself to you that in this time, your word might be proclaimed. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. St. Catherine of Siena, the 14th century laywoman, activist, and mystic, who first spoke these words, words of challenge and encouragement for the faithful of her day, might be discouraged to see, if she were aware, that now you can find this phrase floating along on a vast sea of comforting spiritual quotes on Pinterest. It's also available for purchase as a framed floral watercolor on Etsy. And don't get me wrong, I love a good, pithy, meaningful quote. I mean, I tack these things up around my life just as much as the next person. But framed in these ways, St. Catherine's words can so easily become domesticated and completely misunderstood. In her context and understanding, to be who God means you to be is not, as we might imagine, about mastering all the self-help books or setting out on an eat, pray, love journey of self-discovery. But rather, it's to be so close to God that some of the divine image, that image in which we are all meant to reflect, that image begins to shine out of your perfectly unique lives. And to set the world on fire for St. Catherine isn't to have your blog post go viral or to have your name in lights or to show up in glowing headlines somewhere or whatever other thing you might imagine that might mean, but it is to spread the fire of God's love and grace in a way that is so compelling that others' hearts and lives are changed for the better because of you. Once upon a time, there was a rather ragtag group of women and men. Acts chapter 1, verse 15 suggests that there might have been around 120 of them who were gathered together in one place. They had been on an extraordinary journey with Jesus, both before and after his death. They had witnessed and participated in signs and in wonders. And at this moment, they're simply doing what Jesus told them to do. They are waiting in Jerusalem for the baptism of Holy Spirit. And I wonder if they had any inkling just what they were in for. I wonder if they thought the Spirit would show up gift-wrapped or floating in with the gentleness of a dove. If so, they were wildly mistaken. Because Holy Spirit pours herself out upon the gathering, just as Jesus had promised, but this is no framed watercolor scene. Spirit comes, in the Greek, aphno, suddenly, and bias ias, mightily, even violently. Think wind and fire that sets off alarms, that wakes people up, that cannot be ignored, that requires some kind of response. Spirit comes like a wind and a firestorm and fills the congregation with power and with ability to not only communicate with one another, which is powerful enough, but to be immersed in something so disruptive, so far outside the norm, that those outside the house gather around to see just what in the world is going on in there. This crowd includes many immigrant Jews, those who likely were reared in various places of Jewish diaspora, who had returned to Jerusalem, bringing with them all the diverse cultures and languages of the tribes and the nations surrounding Palestine. Spirit blows into the house, sets the disciples on fire so that they begin proclaiming God's deeds of powerful, liberating love and mercy and justice and peace, and the fire starts to spread. The word is received by people of all ages and nations and orientations and races. It's said that the number that day that had their hearts touched and their lives changed was 3,000, just that day. What is the Pentecost miracle? The miracle, I think, is that for a bright, shining moment, the people of God were who God meant them to be. Available to a disruptive and surprising spirit, filled with a love and freedom and courage, instrumental in a great conversion to love and justice, and generosity and peace and mutuality and the formation of a new community with those things at the center. In this moment, the people of God were who God meant them to be, and people even outside that community were desperate to know what's going on there. This is the beginning of all the stories that we've been exploring all through this season since Easter. All the signs and wonders, all the life changes and reconciliations, the humanizing moments, the boundary crossings, the heart openings. All of those stories are fueled by this mighty moment of Spirit's anointing and filling and fueling people like you and like me to go into the world to be instruments of God's love and grace. That is, to be who God means for us to be. When we first stepped into the Acts of the Apostles 50 days ago, I shared how this book ends on a cliffhanger. And I believe that's to remind us that the story is still being written. Still being written by those of us who are willing to keep showing up, expecting Spirit to do something. The Pentecost miracle is not something that happened once a long time ago. It's an ongoing miracle that even with all the ways that the human family gets it wrong down through the centuries, Spirit continues to touch hearts, to disrupt the status quo of our lives and of our communities, to stir people to gather to empower once timid followers to take risks for the sake of the gospel. I think at least one part of the ongoing Pentecost miracle is that the church still exists at all, considering the big mess we've made of it again and again and again. It's a miracle. But the church's survival shouldn't surprise us, really, since from the very beginning we see there were forces who stood in opposition, forces and voices who sneered and jeered, who saw barriers broken down, and instead of celebrating this amazing moment of a diverse human family sharing an experience of love and liberation, instead of celebrating, they labeled what was happening as bad behavior. They assigned blame. They twisted this beautiful moment into debauchery. And yet this perversion of the truth, this perversion of the beautiful truth, could not stop the life and community creating power of Spirit from flowing, not then and not now. We are in this very moment experiencing a fresh Pentecost moment in the United Methodist Church. A moment when Spirit is setting off alarms, waking people up, stirring discomfort, disrupting what has been, creating confusion, leading people into new configurations.